Well, hello everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending upon where you are joining us from. I want to welcome and thank you all to joining our podcast. Today we're going to talk about first quarter of 2018. I'll give you a little bit of a market update. We have Mr. Eric O here, who is a certified financial planner with our team at Chatterton & Associates, the wealth management team. So today we're going to jump into a little bit of analysis of the quarter, the first quarter in 2018, talk a little bit about some of the crazy market days that we've seen and get a little bit of a spin on, you know, what we think has caused the ups and the downs and get Eric's professional opinion on such. So without further ado, want to welcome Eric, welcome you to the podcast, and let's go ahead and jump into kind of how you would describe the beginning of 2018 here in this first quarter.
Sure. Good day, everyone. This is Eric O speaking. I'm a certified financial planner. And to describe the first quarter of 2018 in a very short way, I would describe it as optimistic and volatile. The U.S. stock markets ended 2017 on a high note, driven by improving economic fundamentals and improved earnings outlook. The passage of tax reform has brought a lot of business optimism and is expected to increase shareholder wealth through stronger profits and dividend payouts. So January very much continued the upside trend of 2017, but stock market valuations seem to have gotten too stretched too quickly, and as of today, the markets have taken away most gains for the year.
So I think that's definitely a very valid concern for a lot of people. You know, they see where the market has retracted now after such a powerful year in 2017.
Right.
You know, people are seeing the ups and the downs, and they tend to lose perspective of where the overall valuation of the market is. So, you know, in your opinion, Eric, what do you think is causing this type of market volatility if the economy seems to be improving?
Right, so that's exactly the the $67,000 question, right? Is that first thing we have to understand are market valuations. As you mentioned, Cameron, in January the S&P 500 index was trading at roughly 19 times forward-looking earnings. So what I mean by that is that if you looked at the S&P 500 index with earnings expectations over the next 12 months. It was expected that the S&P 500 was trading at 19 times that valuation. And historically, the market has traded at a multiple of roughly 16 times forward earnings when we look at the last 25 years. So, you know, the easy way to understand this is that the lower the multiple, the cheaper the market seems. The higher the multiple, the more expensive the market seems. Now, since the beginning of the year, the S&P 500 has lost 10.2% from top to bottom in the first quarter. And this has really brought markets back more in line with their 25-year averages. So as of the March 31st reading, according to JP Morgan, their guide to the markets were showing that the S&P 500 was trading closer to 16 times earnings, which is more in line with the 25-year average. So things are looking a little bit more optimistic now. January seemed to get a little too ahead of itself. So I think we're more back in with realistic expectations at the time being.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, so important to realize is, you know, you don't go to the department store and buy something when it's marked up, right?
Right.
You would want to move more into equity usually when it's at a bit of a fair value.
Absolutely.
So valuations are critical right now in lots of different sectors, not just the U.S. economy. So one thing that we do a lot with clients currently is, you know, look for value in other types of segments in the market.
You're correct. Absolutely correct. And, you know, we see value in certain parts of the market. Obviously, certain parts of the market look overpriced. You know, we think that some of these higher dividend paying investments, although they typically have a lower volatility associated with them, in this rising interest rate environment can potentially have some risks in the near term, in that those investments tend to be a little bit more negatively impacted by rising interest rates.
So Eric, that's another great topic to jump into. You mentioned inflation, you mentioned rising interest rates. You know, there's a lot of different things that people are relaying the volatility this year towards. Can you expand a little bit on your thoughts of inflation, trade, tech, and you know, rising interest rates that we're seeing?
Sure. So the three biggest concerns in the first quarter were obviously inflation, trade, and tech, as Cameron just mentioned. Inflation concerns have been popping up with the possibility of an overheating job market. We're now at an unemployment rate seasonally adjusted of 4.1% when we look at the national statistics. Some experts believe that wage growth and inflation are right around the corner, and this may drive up the cost for businesses and consumers. We view moderate inflation to actually be good for the economy in the long run. However, markets seem concerned that this may result in the Federal Reserve ending the low interest rate party sooner than expected. Now, when we talk about trade, the administration announced tariffs on steel and aluminum. This would mostly impact China. China retaliated with their own round of tariffs on U.S. agriculture. If this is the end of it, then we don't think it's enough to derail the global economic recovery. On the other hand, if this is the start of something bigger, then there may be big concerns ahead. If we want to see what tariffs might do to our economy, look no further than the Tariff Act of 1930, aka Smoot-Hawley. What started as a call to protect local farmers snowballed into 890 tariffs being increased, and this essentially exacerbated the Great Depression. So if we look at the US economy and the world economy today, small changes can have big ripple effects. And the recent tariffs that were announced, you know, these were more of political posturing, in our opinion. And, you know, if it ends there, we don't think that this is going to have a major impact on the global economic recovery. However, like we said, this could potentially turn into something that snowballs. The last part about technology. So if we look at the technology sector, which has benefited tremendously from larger profit margins and perceivably unlimited return potentials due to less overhead costs than most other industries, the sector has also benefited greatly from lax regulatory environment. And as we can see here, that may be changing before our eyes. This has been the going argument for multiple valuations that are substantially higher than the rest of the market. But like I said, this may be changing very quickly. With Facebook's recent data mishandling controversy to the president calling for new regulations that would affect taxation of e-commerce companies like Amazon and eBay, this may change the overall valuation landscape of technology in the near to intermediate term. Now, innovation is what primarily drives technology firms, but we'll have to see how regulations and the potential for the way that companies are taxed may change their valuations over time.
You know, it's so wild to talk about all the different things that are, you know, maybe responsible for the volatility this year. You know, we had coming off of such a powerful, you know, pretty smooth sailing year in 2017. And a lot of people are thinking, you know, that a lot of that had to do with the focus on tax reform and tax reform being accomplished. Whereas this year, you know, we're literally only 4 months into it, not even four full months in. And there's about 12 different spinning plates of concern, of uncertainty. So, you know, we discussed about being optimistic and looking at the things that we try to, you know, predict how the market or the economy is going to be for 2018. And Eric, in your opinion, you know, what really is the takeaway from all this? Is 2018, is the optimism still there, in your opinion?
Right. So, like, as you mentioned, you know, last year we rode on the coattails of tax reform and there was a lot of optimism in the air. The economy was improving at the same time post-election. So it was very smooth sailing in 2017. Now we fast forward to 2018 and there's some questions and doubts that are coming into the markets, but it's still very early on. You know, tax reform was literally just passed in December and has taken effect January of this year. So we're still in the early stages of tax reform and only time will tell how much benefits we see coming into the overall economy. But if earnings growth continues to meet market expectations, then it looks like the rest of 2018 should be a good year. However, a lot can happen in the next year, right? So the world economy seems to be enjoying a synchronized expansion at the moment. We continue to look for value on a global basis as we believe that there are many non-US companies that are showing strong long-term profit potential. However, rising interest rates will most likely bring some volatility back into most markets. Overall, this should side with growth though. Even with the recent uncertainties around technology, we still view the sector to perform better than defensive sectors like utilities and energy. As I mentioned before, utilities and energy are typically what we consider to be recession-proof type of investments that have a little bit lower volatility in most markets, but these are really dividend-paying type of stocks. These types of investments may become a little bit more volatile as interest rates are gradually moving up. From a bond standpoint, bond investing standpoint, we think that interest rates will gradually rise, but stay range-bound. So sticking to intermediate term maturities or multi-sector bonds with higher yields may fare better than the overall US bond market. But overall, we do expect the bond market to stay in check. We also continue to believe that emerging markets bonds present better opportunities for higher returns than developed markets at the time being, although they do have a bit more volatility overall. And with the current bull market cycle entering its 109th month, it's only about 5 months away from becoming the longest bull market dating back to the 1920s. So, you know, that is one other thing that we do have to take into consideration. You know, our economy is strengthening. The economy seems to be firing on all cylinders, but we are getting towards a more mature market at this point. It's just we don't know when the party is going to end and what's going to cause that.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see how quickly we can lose perspective of how good things have been for so long. You know, we had clients calling in, you know, the first week of volatility back in early February, and you can't blame them because it's a very emotional time. You know, we get so adjusted and psychologically connected to a rising market the second that the party stops, so to speak, or the record stops spinning, you know, there's a frantic, you know, upset. So, you know, in efforts of staying even keel and maintaining, you know, where we should be with our investments, Eric, you know, what do you really recommend to the listeners out there? You know, what should people be doing in light of all this information for 2018?
You're absolutely right. So, you know, the hardest thing to do is not become complacent. You know, we tend to become complacent when things are going well. And as markets get volatile, we again may become complacent in that we're afraid to make a move or make a decision. And making a decision doesn't always entail making changes, but it should create an action plan. And the one thing I do want to emphasize is that, you know, even in a bad market where investments seem to be going down in value, there's a time and place for opportunities. So we have to look at it from a longer term perspective. I think a lot of investors and their advisors may focus a little too much on the near term. And I do want to emphasize that point during this podcast that we're doing, and that we are talking about the first quarter of 2018, but we do want to focus a little bit more on the longer term for the client. So for individuals, we emphasize looking closer at your risk tolerance and investment time horizons. You know, do you have 5 years to invest? Do you have 15 or 20 years to invest? That's a big part of the overall plan. Cash flows are extremely important to households. So it is highly recommended that investment performance try to be matched as close as possible to projected retirement future expenses. Financial advisors should also be helping their clients set realistic goals and monitor the progress towards these goals. Market volatility may cause your portfolio to drift over time also, so it is important to make sure that rebalancing is done, especially in times of volatile markets. Now, the first quarter of this year did see quite a bit of volatility, but it wasn't necessarily enough to throw off most portfolios' rebalancing mix. But if we're thinking about the markets over a 3 to 5 year period, portfolios can drift quite a bit over time in terms of how much is owned in stocks versus bonds. So it's important to go back and reposition those investments to bring it more back in target with the original plan. The last thing I think that advisors really should be focusing on is tax reform. You know, how is tax reform policy changes going to impact each household? And that should be done on a one-on-one basis by reviewing their tax returns, doing projections and thinking about the long-term tax consequences of that client.
All right. A lot to think about, a lot going on.
Quite a bit, 2018. Yes.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today, Eric. I hope the listeners took some value away from some of the topics that we discussed. As always, if you're an existing client or you're not working with us, please feel free to reach out if you have any questions about anything that we covered today. We're definitely here to help, and we will be doing multiple updates throughout the rest of 2018. So happy investing, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, everyone.